Hi, Chloe. Thank you for joining me on this call today. Pleasure to connect with you. Today I wanted to get an understanding of your experience. So if you can just start off by giving us an overview of your recruiting background and some of the industries that you specialize in.
Sure. So I started recruiting, like, as I found out, the way a lot of recruiters do, by accident. You know, when you're in high school and they have that career day, as far as like, what do you want to do when you grow up? Mine wasn't recruiting. You know, it wasn't recruiting. It was a veterinarian at one point. It was a photographer. It was a pastry chef, those kinds of things. And then, I got my bachelor of science in business administration with a major in human resources. So now human resources, you know, I can do paperwork, you know, and that'll work. And so I did it. And so I worked in that field at a community college, the one that I had attended, for about 5 years. And I was like, man, you know, I want a little more than this. And so I took a contract job. And it was as a financial analyst. So it was like a six, seven month contract that I ended up doing, or I stayed there for 6 or 7 months. And then after that, the coworker that I shared an office with, she says, well, contact my recruiter. She can find you something. And so I'm like, okay. So I did, and she found me something at a shipyard, one of the largest shipyards in our area. And the job that I started on there, it was human resources. It was just reviewing annual evaluations for the shipbuilders. And then after, while I was there, when we were on assignment, I would just contact the other people in human resources. Sometimes it was the paper filing, that kind of stuff. Other times it was with the recruiters. Hey, can I help you do something? And then, so small tasks, scan their notes in, upload them to the system, little stuff like that. But being around the recruiters, I learned more what they did. You know, I had been to interviews before. So you go to interview and that's it. I never thought about being that person. But then an opportunity presented itself. They had an opening for a full-time recruiter, and one of the guys in management, I went to middle school with him. He's like, hey, you know, would you be interested? I'm like, sure. So I did it, and then that was my first recruiting job. It was just a contract. I was still a contractor. Mm-hmm. And but I got into it, really liked it. I hired for about 6 years in that industry, 3 years with that company. Two or 3 years with that company, I hired electricians and machinists primarily, and then any that came through for the apprenticeship program, which was a big project for every year was a big project. After there, as the contracts go, they end. I started working with a staffing company, but in the same industry. And so I stayed in that same industry. So we hired welders and chip fitters and all different types of skilled trades. And then that was for about 6 or 7 years. Somewhere around there. And then 2018, I got married. 2019, I decided I wanted to work from home. I've been wanting to work from home, but I didn't know how, in what capacity, because a lot of the jobs that you get from home at that time, it was, you know, $10, $12 an hour. And I'm like, well, man, that'd be quite a cut. You know, I don't want to do that. So I kept looking, kept applying, kept praying. And then I came across, during that time, while I was still working outside the home, a company that was similar to Reflect. I was like, man, I can't do that. You know, you get paid by the hire. I can't do that. And then, I ended up coming home in 2019. I started off my first at home recruiting position was, Randstad, SourceRight. Huge. You've heard of them before.
Right.
Enormous company. Never heard of them before in my life, but they were huge. And working with them taught me the different structure of recruiting. Because up to that point, I had been, you know, a full desk or 360 recruiter for the most part.
Right.
You know, I would meet with the hiring managers, you know, learn about the jobs, then do my own sourcing, recruiting, you know, put in ads, that kind of stuff on my own. But at that point with Randstad, I was a sourcer only. I was just a sourcer. And so at first I was kind of confused. Like, well, what about the rest of the stuff? You know, after you source them. And then I worked on contracts. So if the company, they didn't have any, you know, we didn't have a client that needed anybody, we didn't have a job. So I worked for about 7 months, was on the first assignment, couple week break, another one. That's how I worked. And then while doing one of those breaks, I started getting more into the freelance recruiting. And while working with a previous company that did freelance, I said, hey, let me give that a shot. I really wasn't looking for another company until when I found Reflect. I just wanted somewhere to put these candidates that I couldn't place. And so while looking for that, I discovered Reflect. I'm like, sounds like the same type of scenario that I am working with the other company, but they pay a lot more. So I went ahead and signed up, you know, it didn't cost nothing to open an account. So right. I did. Just kind of started looking through all the different openings. And I was like, man, you know, I'll give it a shot. And one of the first, two of the first companies that I started working with was, it was with Nate Bagby and Bob Ferns. I think maybe the first year working with them, I made my first two hires was with them.
Okay.
And then after that, it was the next year that I just had more hires. And I was like, man, this is crazy. I basically was just sourcing, keeping the candidate warm, kind of walking them through the interview process. If they got hired, I got paid. And I was like, oh my word, this is crazy. And so, I just have kind of stuck with them. You know, they, now, you know, on the Reflect platform, there's a variety of industries. So you don't really get bored. You know, if you want to hire for executive chefs, you can do that. If you want to hire for software, 1 year, I think most of my hires except one was a software position. Reflect does a great job of always providing a fantastic job description. We didn't always have that previously. I mean, it's right there. So if I go to place my ads, basically copy and paste, make sure there's no, the pay rate, of course, and then, right. You know, our client. But aside mm-hmm. from that, click, paste, there's your ad, you know?
Yeah.
So Reflect does a great job of setting you up to succeed, whether you're, like myself, I have my own LLC, CH Recruitment Solutions. The clients that I get on my own, they're in the healthcare field, specifically nurse practitioners. But, you know, there's pros and cons to that. I do have to get my own clients and find them and work them. Whereas with Reflect, if I want to just, hey, start working and get to work, they've already done the hard part of getting the contract, securing that contract, working out a deal as far as payment. I can just see the average of what I would make and go for it.
You mentioned that referral fee is one of the distinguishers. What have you seen as being other factors that made you pivot more towards Reflect?
You know, the organization of the company, the professionalism of the company, you know, their willingness to reach out and talk to you, the account managers, Nate, Bob, you know, I made a couple of hires for Kurt at the beginning of this year. You know, they're so willing to, hey, let's jump on the phone call. I'll show you some candidates that were maybe chosen in the past to really try to help you out, to really try to get, and the organization also, if the job is posted on the website, it's still available. Previously, Cabal, I would see a posting on this particular website. I would see it. I would start working on it. And then I get an email. Oh, that job, you know, we just closed it. Just place an ad. I just spent money on this ad. I just, right. You know, the time and money, you know, but with Reflect, it's not like that. If that job is still posted, it is still active. It is still needed. It is still one you can work on. So if you just see a job and start working on it, you know, I don't have to worry about it getting pulled.
Right.
While my ad is still running like that.
Makes sense.
I really like that. Yeah, the weekly meetings, they do a great job of keeping you abreast of what is still needed. Hey, yeah, we have a lot of jobs posted, but these are more important. You know, as I think Kurt would say, this is closest to the money. Again, Reflect really, I don't know if in the manager meetings they talk about let's make it simple or let's make it not really simple. Simple. It's a simple concept, recruiting, but it's not easy. You know what I mean? It's a simple concept. Find the right person, submit them, they get hired. But, you know, it can take a while.
Yeah.
It can take a while. I had the pleasure of meeting with Ash one time. And, man, he gave me some great advice. I think about it to this day. I have it written down on my goal boards. He said this and so did Nate. And that was this. I told him I wanted to get consistent hires. Cause the first part of the year, it was fantastic. It was awesome. I made literally like a whole year's salary, like 2 months. I was like, who does this? I do this. But the ref, like, that's who does it, you know? Mm-hmm. But he said, just submit one good qualified candidate every day. Every day. Like, that's not really a lot. When you add up over the year, that's like 200 candidates.
Right.
And if 30% of those get hired, golden. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It is. So, yeah, so that was a really good advice. And I try to do it to this day. And I have gotten, this is Tuesday, I submitted one yesterday, one today. So I still just trying to get it going.
That's actually really good advice because that's something that I feel recruiters, especially ones who are starting in the business, think that like volume is really the key to success. But our account managers definitely emphasize the need for the quality because you can be throwing a bunch of, you know, resumes at a job. And that's costing you resources and time and effort. But if they're not thoroughly screened and really compared to, you know, job insights and requirements of the job, then, it's not a good, efficient use of your time. So, that advice is definitely very valuable.
Indeed. I have seen it in action. I'll tell you this very quickly. We had, early this year, I'm so happy about it. I hired the highest level position I have in my entire career. That was vice president of operations. It was one for
Step Step. Congrats.
You know how many people, thank you. Do you know how many people I submitted for that job? Come on.
How many?
Like two.
Wow.
Like two. Because you learn, and I didn't know sourcing was such a big thing. I was like, because from where I come from in the shipbuilding, it kind of was about volume. You know right. what I mean? It kind of was about volume. You know, we need 15 of these. Wait, when you come to this side, we need one VP, okay? We need three such and suches. Mm-hmm. You know, for the most part, there are those one-offs, but I was like, wow. I submitted probably two or three candidates, maybe three for that job, and one mm-hmm. got hired. The other hire was for like a technical director of sales or something. I submitted one candidate, one hire. Done.
Amazing.
That's what I'm saying. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
I actually have another question for you. So you have a very interesting background that you came from a full cycle recruiting background where you're working for more skilled labor. Like you said, there's a lot more turnover there. So higher volume is definitely a focus. And then you're starting your own thing, trying to build your own business and trying to navigate how to, you know, fill it those C-suite roles. So mm-hmm. what has helped you in, adapting and really understanding how to, you know, tunnel your energy?
You know, being teachable, being teachable and kind of knowing how I wanted my future career to look and starting to form that now. I knew that for one, the schedule. I knew I didn't want to work myself to the bone. You hear some of the top billers, you know, I work 8 to 8, you know, I work 7 to 7, you know, I try to get in. And hey, if that's working for them, fantastic. Do that. I want to work from like 7 till about 3 and be done with it. So in that time, I've got to be efficient. You know, I can't afford to just throw a bunch of resumes up against the wall. That wastes my time, my energy, my money. That wastes the recruiter's time on Reflex end. You know, or the hiring managers that I get and just, you know, a bunch of, what are all these garbage resumes? You don't know. I'd rather just give you like a couple good ones. Look at those. You're going to hire one of those guys.
Right.
So being efficient, knowing what I wanted, being teachable. My husband works Monday to Thursday. And I said, well, so what do I want to work Monday to Thursday? So when he's off, I'm off. We can go do something.
Right.
So that's what I've tried to stick to, try to have a balance between, yes, we're working and we can make a lot of money per placement, but I don't want to just be working when he's at the house. Now, sometimes I do, and I try to keep it to a minimum, but he understands and he has learned a lot, too. I didn't know he was listening so much till I started telling him some stuff and he's like finishing my sentences. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try to, if he stays at the house too long on the weekend, I'm going to turn him into a recruiter. But,
that's good, expanding your business.
That's right. The first employee. But, you know, but being teachable. So being teachable and being knowing what you wanted. I am part of a group, like a lot of us probably are on Facebook, that is specific to headhunters and recruiters. And I met a guy through there. His name is Ben. And He posted something about how he was using different tools to basically be more efficient. And so we talked on the phone. He gave me an hour or a half of his time. It was wonderful. He told me about how he structures his business, how he gets his clients, how he gets his candidates. And it was all some of the software that he does use, which wasn't overwhelming. He's maybe like two, one, I did not have an ATS. He uses Manitoul. So I got, there's a ton out there. I said Manitoul. It was inexpensive. It was good. Using some of those. And so the amount of volume that he got for this current year, for last year, it was very much in line with what I wanted to do too. So being able to learn from people that have gone ahead of me, makes sense. And then also take into account the information from Ash and from Nate. It was like, look, one a day. So that helps a lot. That helps a lot. And just, you know, being able to kind of prioritize, have a good mix of my own client, openings and Reflex, because Reflex, you know, that's kind of guaranteed money. Yeah. Awesome. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, that's actually very helpful because, yeah, building that structure and organization and, yeah, like I like your point about, you know, being open to learning, to adapt to new ways. Yep. That's so important and not easy to do. So you make it sound easy, but I think it has a lot more resilience attached to it. And I think the quality of your application definitely backs up everything you're saying because you could see that intentionality and the advice really being put into practice. So we definitely appreciate that because it also makes our lives easier. When it comes to candidate sourcing, you've worked on what kind of functional roles have you worked on?
Can I give you the different industries?
Yeah.
With Reflic, I haven't stuck to one to one industry. Reflic has so many cool jobs. I've done some with Sodexo, which of course is food and hospitality. Last year, I think I did mostly software. Mm-hmm. Most of mine were software. And I mean, pun intended, it's a whole nother language over there. Oh my gracious. Java, C++, what's this? What's that? Yeah. You know, but if you can learn it, and I didn't get deep, I never programmed, but I would read enough. Again, Reflex job descriptions were so good. Somebody who never heard of that stuff can extrapolate from that what they need to find that person, what you need to find a C++ developer. I remember doing that, you know, and so that was possible. What else? I've done some manufacturing. This year, the beginning of this year was Sodexo Hospitality. And then Saint Gobain was ceramics. So I haven't done like a whole lot in any one industry. I enjoy the variety with Reflic. My personal clients, you know, they're medical industry in keeping with the not get myself too overwhelmed. Just kind of have narrow it down there because that has a lot to do in the medical industry. I hope that to answer your question.
Yeah, no, that's actually really great. So you mentioned some of the tools that, you know, you've tried to adapt in terms of keeping you on track, and you mentioned ATS. Are there any other tools you would suggest or emphasize to, you know, keep yourself organized, especially when you're working across different industries as one person?
Yeah, Apollo. I use Apollo.io. That one is really good. That one allows you to, I only use it for pretty much one thing, which is, emailing my hiring managers on a consistent basis. You can set up, I think they call it a thread. It may be wrong, where you can, where you can schedule to email them, say, once every couple of days or whatever you set it up. That way I don't have to manually email them every single day or every other day. I may forget. So when you set it up with Apollo, you can just set it to email them every few days. That was a really good one. Manitoul is the ATS that I use. It is fantastic. I mean, come on, coming from a manual Google Sheets, it is much better. I mean, I want to upload a candidate, enter the resume, it parses it out, you're good to go.
Right.
As far as sourcing candidates, though, I use LinkedIn and Indeed. I use Indeed. You can usually do really well. I'll place ads on both Indeed and LinkedIn. And right now, that's pretty much it. Right now, that's pretty much it.
And, and I think another opportunity that may be worth exploring is, since you have submitted a lot of candidates on Reflect itself, just looking at which candidates were actually qualified but may not have been selected for one job. If there's a similar job that comes on the platform, you're able to, you know, reuse the candidate if they're still available and interested. So you can always track all the submissions that you have in the tab and be able to, you know, reuse candidates when the opportunity arises.
That's a good suggestion. I didn't think about that. I do have a section where I keep my most placeable candidates in my ATS, so I can go back and add some of those guys in there. And if something does come up, yeah, that would be good. And I wouldn't have to resource because they're already there.
Exactly. And you've done all the work in terms of screening them, so it's a matter of just seeing if they're available and reapplying.
That's true. That's true. Come on, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries. Last question. Any additional tips on that you would want to share with any recruiters or agencies who may be new to Reflect or new to recruiting?
New to Reflect, attend the weekly meetings. That is very helpful to know what is most needed. Schedule, you know, if there's a job that you want to work on, you know, although the job description is really helpful and all, schedule a call with the account manager. They're more than happy to go into more detail, perhaps show you some good resumes for the job, give you some tips, and keep in communication with account managers, either via email or with a phone call. That can really help. You know, there have been times where I've been working on a particular job. And it's like, hey, actually, that one we needed, but here's something that's more important. Work on this one. They want to hire this within a week. And then you can kind of get you a little closer to the money that way. As far as you just getting into recruiting, there is no substitute for hard work, but hard work the right way, Kamal, because you can work hard on submitting a bunch of irrelevant resumes like we mentioned before. You know, you can do that, and then you're just kind of like spinning your wheels, throwing stuff up against the wall, hoping that it works. So be efficient, work hard, but also be focused, like surgically focused. That VP, that was a fantastic hire. But, you know, if you just throw anybody out there and you don't pick, you might throw the wrong person there. So just be specific in your sourcing, be direct. It'll save you time. It'll save you effort. Like I said, for the other position, I submitted one technical director. There were 30 applicants. I submitted one and mine got hired. That's how that works. If you're surgical about it, hey, the results will follow. You reap what you sow. If you just throw irrelevant, well, you're going to get irrelevant results.
Yeah.
And lastly, submit one a day. Submit one good candidate every day. Ash was right about that, and Nate was right about that, and that is what my goal is now. So you can definitely make some progress. Awesome. Definitely make some progress.
Thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure speaking with you. I personally learned a lot also, I find your approach and optimism very refreshing. So it's been a pleasure.